Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hello again, fellow basement dwellers. It's your good friend Patrick O'Dowd welcoming you into another edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Bandwagon Nerds is, of course, brought to you as a part of the Chairshot Radio Network here on thechairshot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. Head over to prowrestlingtees.com/thechairshot for all of your Chairshot swag needs. And we have the most stripped down edition of Bandwagon Nerds in history. This is going to be a shorter episode, and it's short on nerds in the biggest way. This is actually a historic day, Dave, as the lawyer himself, David Ungar, has joined me. A streak is broken today, as PC Tunney will not be with us on the show today for the first time in an extraordinarily long time. A streak that is unlikely to be broken in Bandwagon Nerds history, as the Iron Man of Bandwagon Nerds himself could not make it today. Ray Cash has ongoing computer issues and therefore will not make it as well to the bandwagon today. So that puts us at us, the OGs, the two of us doing this show. And the reason this is a shortened show and a somewhat truncated show is because Patrick O'Dowd also has to leave the recording early, as it is Mrs. O'Dowd's birthday. And so with it just being the two of us needing some time, I thought I wasn't even going to do the show in the first place, but I knew I had time to do Four Corners. We were going to do Four Corners. There will be no Four Corners podcast, though Arkansas head coach I just saw through the wire got fired. And now Bobby Petrino, the man who was fired for driving around a co-ed on a motorcycle when he was head coach at the, was it a co-ed or just a young assistant? I don't remember. It doesn't matter. He was having an extramarital affair with somebody involved with the program and got fired for it. And now is back as the head coach, interim head coach for Arkansas. I think Tom Fornelli over at CBS made the best point about that. You do this so that Arkansas remains a train wreck and Petrino doesn't perform well, so you have no reason to actually hire him when you do your real coaching search. So what a week. We are going to talk about season 2, episode 6 of Peacemaker, and what an episode it was. We're going to do a little bit of a truncated trailer park. We're going to talk about some interesting news. Dave, you can always tell Dave had prepared the rundown, which means that there's a wrestling element. Now, it is an entertainment wrestling element that does match with what we do. And then you know, we'll go, I don't know how much we'll talk about the political climate of our world, though Disney has reinstated Jimmy Kimmel. Sinclair, who initially said they weren't going to air Jimmy Kimmel, buckled when Disney was like, we're going to take the NFL away from you. And then Nexstar, whoever the other company is, buckled within 4 hours of Sinclair buckling. So there you go. When you actually make a company's pocket hurt, we're going to do this a little out of order. When you actually make a company's pocket hurt, that's where you have power in this current regime, because all they care about is profit and money. And so if you want to make yourself heard in the entertainment industry, as Disney did, shareholders abound. Like, the stock crippled a bit. Like, they lost something like $4 billion or something in the wake of that decision. Disney Plus cancellations were left and right, so much so that Jimmy Kimmel made light of it on his return monologue, where he's like, would I have to read a prepared statement? Yes, Disney did ask me to read these words to reactivate your Disney Plus subscription. Go to the Disney Plus app on your television or mobile device to reactivate. So quite a week, Dave. How are you? And how are you feeling about this week? Busy week.
It was a very busy week as far as just everything going on the entertainment side of things. Yeah, I know the political stuff, because like you're saying, we're kind of going out of order, and I did have this grand plan for an episode, but we got things going on, and it is Mrs. O'Dowd's birthday, and that's what really matters today. I think the thing with Jimmy Kimmel is there's going to be a big lawsuit, and Disney and ABC and EA, all that whole conglomerate are bracing for that, because Trump will come after them. He's already basically said he's going to come after them. And he brags, I won $16 million last time. I wonder how much I'm going to win this time. Well, hopefully Disney holds their ground and doesn't just cave in to you guys and protects free speech and all this other stuff. I think the other thing, like in the wake of the Charlie Kirk shooting, one of the trailers we covered a few weeks ago when you were tribal chiefing things was a trailer for something called The Savant, which has now been delayed as well because I guess it cuts too close to home at this point in time. And I'm not sure, you know, Jessica Chastain made her comments and she seemed to really kind of, you know, like the premise of the show is to kind of prevent exactly what happened with Charlie Kirk. So I get it from Apple's standpoint, like, well, this is cutting a little bit too close to home. Let's push this thing off. But yeah, you would have liked to see them do something, you know, to go forward with that. So yeah, it's been an interesting week. That's for sure.
Yeah, it really has. And this is the world we're in right now. Like, this is the entertainment world we're in. Your right to free speech is not existent right now, almost. As the president has also put out the like guidelines of what like sort of domestic terrorism is. And it's basically anything disagreeing with the right political ideology. Like, it's messed up and it's scary. And I don't want our show to devolve into that today. If for no other reason, then we're going to put this out in the internet airwaves and, you know, hi, whoever's listening, we love America or something.
Like, I'm not pushing the buttons in other places.
So we're going to do all that. And then immediately go into an episode of Peacemaker where it is revealed that Nazis are running the alternate dimension that Chris has gone to. And this had been speculated. Somebody had caught on to this out there in the interwebs a few weeks ago. I had brought it up that what if this alternate reality that Chris is in, this perfect reality with his, you know, his racist dad, was really Earth X, where the Nazis have won World War II and the United States is a Nazi nation. And so all you see, you know, and somebody pointed that out, there's no people of color in this world. And the show itself never made any secret about this. Like, you know, you're just not, many of us as audience are probably, especially white folks, probably weren't particularly aware, just like Chris, of the fact that there were no people of color in this world. Because why? That's part of the point of this, is that, you know, they basically want you to understand what you see and don't see, and that that comes home in a really, really big way when Harcourt and Adrian and Economos and Adebayo all open the portal and jump through. We still don't know where Judo Master is. He has disappeared. I'm wondering if he's going to go wherever they send Adebayo.
Do they have Flaming Hot Cheetos on Earth X? That's the key question.
I don't know, but I'm willing to bet that an Asian dude wandering around that place, just given how quickly folks were rounded up, even with all of his judo skills, probably is locked away in the same place that I fear Adebayo will be locked up in, which will lead to us maybe beating the Sons of Liberty. He's like, there was a lot that just went on. And it all starts with, you know, Chris's friends going into this world to try and bring Chris back. And while they're just getting their bearings in this new world in the Chris's home, his brother shows up and sees Harcourt, is suspicious as to her being there because it doesn't make sense. Like, anybody with half a brain can see this isn't going to make sense. But she agrees to go with him because she's wearing black. Her language is different. She doesn't know anything about anything in the room. The snow globe from the mom that died when they were two. Just delightful stuff. We end up back at Argus. Chris shows up at Argus, even though they think that Chris is at Argus. Like, it's just, the stories are falling apart as more people show up. And because they show up, Chris, you know, and we'll get into Adrian's cave in a little bit, but Harcourt gets flagged. She's in this interrogating room where Chris confronts her. They're arguing. She finally has a little bit of a breakthrough moment about how she can't feel, that she just doesn't. She's so emotionally detached that she punches things. And then he starts, like, then she points out and he finally starts to catch on that this world is wrong. And that, of course, is when we unfurl the flag. And instead of stars, we have the swastika that has replaced it. And we're left with kind of the game being given up on multiple different levels. Economos gets caught by Chris's father. Adebayo is getting surrounded by Chris's brother and all these other folks. And then, of course, Harcourt 1 and Chris are spotted by Harcourt 2, who's like, that's not me. Arrest them. And the chase is on for the next episode. And that doesn't even get to the Lex Luthor cameo.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot going on in that whole thing. And I was surprised, but not surprised that they went the Earth X thing. Because it seemed like this, I'm not sure that they want to go in that direction. But when you really look back on it, it all makes a lot of sense. And everything, they were planting the seeds the whole way through, that sort of thing. But yeah, just a lot to unpack in this episode. I do like the, well, I know you want to talk about the vigilante thing or where did you want to?
Yeah, everything happens so concurrently, it's tough to make it linear. So, right. You know, they want to open this portal and they're trying to think of a place where they can open it that won't be easily found by Rick Flag. And so they decide, because nobody knows vigilante's true identity, they're going to go to Adrian's house where we meet Adrian's mom, and you learn about Adrian's special, like, secret locked away room that is just stacked with cash and drugs from all these various heists and things that he's busted. And so when they open the portal, this is what flags Harcourt, is when they open the portal, of course, you know, that big blast happens and they get nailed with drugs, and the dogs sniff it on Harcourt's jacket. It doesn't get all cleaned off, so she gets pulled aside.
Nothing like a little cocaine blast for your morning. Yeah.
And Adrian's insistence on meeting himself and his complete denial of his breakdown and Adebayo's comforting of him was a very interesting turn. But he goes and he meets his alternate reality self, and it's basically, he's no different.
They're identical. The only difference is Nazi peacemaker versus normal peacemaker. But that's where it all kind of falls apart. And I don't even know it'll fall apart for them. They're so it's the same person.
I mean, they're the same person, and they're probably the ones that are going to, you know, help turn a tide for our heroes to get them out of here. But yeah, that's just. It's such an intense episode.
I like Harcourt finds out that Adrian's been lying about his uh, his illicit affair with her and all this other stuff. And she's just kind of sitting there looking at him. I thought that was special. But Economos gets stabbed in the hand by Augie. And you could tell that Augie starts to realize that something's not right here. But man, I mean, it's chilling. And I know, like you're saying, there's no linear way to talk about this. But like when Keith stops, when he sees Adebayo on the street and he stops and he goes, one got out. That is kind of horrifying to think about. Like, wait,
like, where are they?
Where are the rest of these guys? You know, that sort of thing. I'm not even going to approach the concept of where there's, you know, what happened to all the Jewish people at this point. I'm sure they're gone. But yeah, it's going to be a wild ride. We got two episodes left. And like you say, we haven't talked about Lex Luthor yet, which is a big, big reveal.
Yeah, well, it's a big reveal. It's a nice little cameo. We get a nod to Creature Commandos in it as well, because he mentions some of the character, or at least he offhandedly sort of describes some of the characters there. But this is also, because of what we have heard already about Man of Tomorrow and where that's going to go. And we already know, like, James Gunn has shown off the first draft, speaking of jumping around and adding things. And, you know, there's... seems pretty clear that Brainiac is the villain based on the picture of, you know, the human anatomy, a sliced head or a biopsied head to where you can see the brain. It seems pretty clear that that's going to be Brainiac. And just, you know, that revelation means that, and the other revelation of James Gunn saying that this is a kind of a team-up movie, like Superman and Lex Luthor are going to have to join forces. Well, you have to start to lay the foundation for Lex Luthor to get out of prison, right? And so, or escape from prison, who knows? But this is the first step, because in an effort to try and find portals now, because they don't know how to do it, they go to Lex Luthor, who says that he can help them because he does have the ability and the technology to help them. But what are they going to do from him? And that is transferring him out of, what's the name of that prison in Louisiana?
Belle Reve.
Belle Reve, transferring him out of Belle Reve to a much less secure prison, I would assume. And so, you know, at the very least, he can break out with help from Otis and company, if not eventually get released.
Yeah, I think like they're cutting some sort of deal. You get to hear what his sentence was, and he's still bearing the marks of what Crypto did to him, because he's got that cane that he's using. Flag, I mean, you almost wonder, like, boy, Flag must be pretty desperate if he's going to Lex to try and cut some sort of deal to quell this metahuman uprising and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, I mean, getting back to Man of Tomorrow, like, I know it seems like Brainiac is going to be the villain, but like at the same time, like, Gunn just did something yesterday where he's being very noncommittal about the whole thing, which I expect him to be, because that's what James Gunn does. But
yeah, I mean, Dave, that tease is too on the nose. You don't post that photo like that. Like, I it's Brainiac. Like, don't overthink that one too much. Because here's the thing that I found with James Gunn. He'll actually be pretty honest about stuff. And that's the other thing is, you know, after the episode ends and we get the teaser of what's going to come next week, there's somebody in a shadow being talked to, and people are like, Superman, and he's already killed that to Variety. He was like, no, it's not Superman, and he might be lying, but I doubt it.
Well, I think I would be really surprised. I know you messaged earlier about this. I would be really surprised if we don't get Superman at the end of this thing, maybe episode 8 at some point. You know, it's not that this is.
I'm going to believe James Gunn over my fan Hopta. And here's why: because he doesn't lie. Like, when he says something isn't true or isn't in there, it's not in there, and it is true. But we, as speculative nerds, because we love it so much, and I'll even take it a step further to good enterprise, because we're fans of professional wrestling too, we live predisposed to not believe anything anybody tells us. Like, you can see it on the screen and be like, nope. Like, if I hear one more time that Edge is showing up at the WWE,
oh,
like, we don't believe things in our little circle and then in our expanded circle. And in this case, I don't think you go and you give an interview to Variety of all outlets and say, no, no, David Cornsweet isn't in this. His, like, he, it just didn't fit. It didn't fit with the set. I'm going to believe it. Just, I've come to realize and come to understand and respect that they don't lie very much. Like, that one does not lie. So,
you may be right.
You know, I like to think that I am. So, good episode, best episode, favorite episode of season two?
I think I preferred
five, but
it's a tough one to play. It's the most impactful, that's for sure.
Right. Well, it's the reveal episode, right? This is the twist. What a twist.
Where you get to really feel, we got to see our favorite alien show up again in the Hall of Dimensions. That's what I'm calling it, the Hall of Dimensions now. And you know, so you get to see more of that going on. You got to figure we're going to get some sort of reveal about what the hell that's all about by the time this ends. One would hope so. But yeah, I love the episode. I thought it was very impactful. I love the internet crashing out about, you know, and it, let's be real, it's white women crashing out about Adebayo being chased by a gang of people. It's like, come on, it's a multiverse. You guys need to do better than that.
Well, but yeah, white racist folks did not handle the twist particularly well. And again, if you've tell me you've never read DC Comics and the source material without telling me, because if you've read the comics at all, you know what Earth-X is. You know that is a legit DC comic storyline. You're just choosing to forget it. And that's what I find all the time, is that there's oftentimes a choice to forget things when it's convenient to a narrative. We have two episodes left. One of the big keys for me is anybody going to think, when they try to go back to their proper dimension, to close the portal behind them? And I think the answer is no.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got to be no, because that's how you're going to create the drama and all that stuff. But you would hope somebody would be wise enough to say, hey, maybe we should close the door. We know that's not going to happen.
Or take their ability to make the door away, because clearly it exists in there somewhere.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It's going to be a fun ride to the finish, you know, and how much of this really carries over into Man of Tomorrow and why will be very, very fascinating to see the whole thing come to fruition. I'm trying to think of other stuff that happened in the episode that Eagly making a mess of things. That was fun. A mess of the kitchen. But yeah,
the only other thing I will say, and we got to, again, I'm under a time crunch, so we can't do it all. And so I'm going to make this about me. Sorry. I was mad. I am so mad at Economos. Like, of all the characters, that dude and his inability to shit or get off the pot is infuriating. And he's gone from being a, like, sort of quirky, sarcastic voice of reason to a dude with no conviction that I can't stand. And I hope we redeem him, because he goes along for the fucking ride, but then buckles like a belt the second anything happens. And why would you do that? Why are you so concerned? Like, he is so concerned about his own skin. And granted, he's facing a knife and death and all that. Augie has got him. But, like, there was no thought. We just sold his ass out. Just sold everybody out. And, like, be better than your character. Be better, character. I want that character to be better. I want to like that guy. And yet he continues to be wishy-washy at best. So
I'm with you.
Two episodes to redeem yourself, Economos, you bastard.
Maybe he'll be the hero of all this. He'll be the one who leaves the door open, Pat. He'll be the one who leaves the door open.
Of course
he will. Last one out, close the door. Nope.
All right, well, we're going to take our first commercial break. We're going to be the first ones out. When we come back, we're going to jump into the trailer park, talk a few things that are coming up, and then head into news around the Nerdosphere. So stick around with us. You are listening to Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of the ChairShot.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Welcome back, everyone, into the Bandwagon Nerds here on the ChairShot Radio Network, part of TheChairShot.com, where we remind you to always use your head. ProWrestlingTees.com/TheChairShot for all of your chair shot swag needs. David Ungar, Patrick O'Dowd, talking all nerdy stuff all the time today. Dave, it's time to head into the trailer park. I know you loaded this up. I'm going to cut it down by about two trailers. So I'm going to cut a couple of trailers. One, because it's a movie I don't particularly care about and think should be saved to next week when we have more of a robust group to talk about it, and one because I frankly didn't watch the trailer. So in order to do that, of course, we need for you to play that beautiful banjo. Thank you very much. The quest continues for multiple banjos, but we'll continue to enjoy what we can enjoy. And the first trailer I want to talk about is one for a show we've already covered a little bit, but we got our final trailer for It, Welcome to Derry, coming soon on HBO Max, October 26th. By the way, Dave did the rundown. Dave, you do a much better job of telling everybody when these movies come out. I appreciate that. I should consider that.
I'm trying to help the brothers out, my man.
So yeah,
and it helps me because I tend to like to do it chronologically. It just kind of makes a little, you know, me.
And this, in this whole entertainment world where racism is the name of a game, this trailer is very much in that vein as we get a closer look at the primary family that's going to be moving into Derry, a black military family, where they're looking around this small town. And of course, under the veneer of this quaint New England town, this quaint Maine town of Derry that they're moving into, is a seedy underbelly. Of course, we do have a group of kids that are seeing Pennywise the clown, and that is going through. But what was most evident to me was, you know, this black family with like one other black person in this town experiencing the town and the problems that it presents. Like I said, it's a racist little town, and they're trying to navigate that and live that while in a military base. So I'm already in on this series. I'm going to watch it. But Dave, what did you think of this final trailer for It, Welcome to Derry?
I really liked the trailer. It was, I think, like a couple of things that bear mentioning. There was the nod to Shawshank, because there's a bunch of people on the prison or in the bus to Shawshank State Prison. Now, I don't know timeline, whether that lines up with Shawshank Redemption. It is obviously all Stephen King. And then you've got you actually get to see the meteorite that you presume is carrying the alien entity crash into Derry. So you get to see kind of the origins of that and where that all comes from. But yeah, that was really kind of cool to see that whole thing happen. It looks like getting this backstory for Derry and what exactly happened there is going to be really awesome. So I like the trailer. It's definitely going to be one that I'm going to watch. It's coming really soon to HBO Max, and that should definitely be appointment viewing. So yeah.
Yeah, I think that was a really cool trailer. I have high hopes for this series. I hope HBO doesn't disappoint me with it, but we'll just have to wait and see. A series I know won't disappoint me because I've enjoyed volumes 1 and 2 is Star Wars Visions. And Disney Plus released the first trailer for volume 3 of Star Wars Visions. That's hitting Disney Plus on October 29th. For those of you who don't know, each episode is a one shot, basically. Like, very rarely are they connected to anything greater than the one episode that they're doing, but they're all done by famous anime artists in Japan. And these 7 to 15 minute shorts have been some of my favorite things to watch because they are everything I think we hope for when we look at Star Wars beyond the original trilogy, in that they just tell different stories and in different styles with different characters and different directions than the Skywalker saga. And most of them surround Jedis. There's very few that don't have the Jedi involved in some way, shape, or form, or some variation of a lightsaber, which makes a lot of sense given the Japanese roots of Star Wars. Kurosawa films had a heavy influence over the original trilogy. Just ask George Lucas. And that tradition gets carried over here in these anime episodes. Two things that I noticed out of these trailers, and it's hard to pinpoint just one, was there was the battle where somebody looks like they have a lightsaber as a prosthetic leg. It is fighting with their leg as the lightsaber instead of the traditional sword. And then I think many, many people are talking about the contraption that kind of looks like it almost looks like when General Grievous opens up his 6 arms and has the lightsabers pointing out. We have something sort of like that. Looks like a fan o lightsabers on a bunch of mechanical arms that is wielded by a character. This series always looks cool. There's Ewoks involved. There's a, like, even like the artwork varies from like your traditional anime look to almost like a sketchbook style artwork. There's Ewoks here and there. Like, everything's on the table in Star Wars Visions, which is what I think makes it so darn good.
Yeah, I haven't watched any of the first 2 seasons. Yeah, it looks the animation style. You got all these different people. I mean, I'm wondering, is this kind of what they envisioned with the sequel trilogy by bringing in all these different, you know, like 3 different directors to kind of go in that direction? Like, you get these 3 distinct visions that still flow together.
Right. Remember the original trilogy, though. The original Star Wars trilogy was directed by 3 different men. Like, it was George Lucas, Irving Kirshner, and I actually cannot remember who directed Jedi, but it wasn't Lucas. Pretty sure.
I don't remember either.
Now, I'm going to look it up. But I do think one of the things that makes Star Wars great, in my opinion, is having different people telling the tales and looking at the building on it. Sorry.
And it is cool. Like, the Japanese anime style is very heavy in this whole thing. And it really looks like, I love the art style, and it's not all the same. And some of it, I mean, there is like, so I think there was a couple of, or at least one that they showed that kind of had that cel shaded sort of, you know, kind of more kid friendly version. And then some are just very, very detailed and very, you know, much in your face, that sort of thing. But
Richard Marquand directed Return of the Jedi.
Yeah, it's something I got to go back and watch. I imagine this probably isn't, strictly speaking, any part of the Star Wars continuity. It's kind of outside of that.
No, they're completely outside of the Star Wars. None of them, like, you do not have to have watched any of, like, the Star Wars Prime stories to enjoy Star Wars Visions. It is very much, like, these are all very much, like, isolated individual tales that exist within the Star Wars universe. And, you know, I mean, like, one episode has, that I remember, has huts involved. There's some that are very, they feel like they take place in feudal Japan. You know, it's a multilingual series too. Like, you can watch it with Japanese voices, or you can listen to the dubbed versions. Both of them are good stuff.
It's definitely something I gotta check out. It's been one of the, but, you know, there's so much going on right now with things to watch, and now you got It coming out and all, you know. I know we're not covering the trailer. House of Dynamite, I think, is one I've done. It's going to be appointment viewing for me. But yeah, I'll find the time one of these days to watch this, I'm sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, I am going to do one last trailer to move us right along. It's one that you were disappointed in, Dave, and you and I had a little back and forth because the trailer for The Mandalorian and Grogu dropped, and it was a 1.5-minute teaser trailer that mostly shows footage of ships flying and Grogu crawling through pipes and stuff and being Grogu. We got to look at Sigourney Weaver. And Dave, I'm going to start with you. I'll let you go first this time because you were down on the trailer. I think it is fair to say you were down a little on the trailer. And this is a safe space. We listen and we don't judge. Well, that's not true. I judge a lot. I judge all the time.
I was underwhelmed by the trailer for two reasons. One is because I know they showed more at Destination D23 than this. And the people at Destination D23 got to see a much more fleshed out and detailed trailer. So I get you're only showing a teaser, but when you've already leaked this thing that is already leaked online and you got to see what was going on, it's like, well, give us the goods, man. We already know there's more to this than that. So that was kind of one of the things that underwhelmed me. The other one is just like, it's so Grogu-centric, and I'm not one of these people. And you know, this was the original show we covered on Bandwagon Nerds. I've never been one of these ones to fawn over Grogu. Mando, different story. You know, some of the not even tertiary characters, Gina Carano's character, Carl Weathers, you know, rest in peace, his character, Boba Fett's character, FedEx Shad, all that stuff. I've been much more interested in those characters. Grogu's cool, but when they steer into this, let's make it a cute alternative version of Yoda sort of thing. And they have a tendency, and I don't know if you'll agree with me on this or not, but they do have a tendency to overdo that. And this trailer really overdid that, especially at the end where he fires the nice shot, baby, saying it in his words. It's like, all right, I guess it's smart on their part to focus on that because he is what has made that series as popular as it is, at least partly, probably mostly, I'd say that. So, yeah, I will say this. I watched it a second time putting the rundown together. I felt better about it. The stuff with the AT-ATs, and I'm trying to figure, okay, what...
Falling off the cliff.
Right. That was really awesome, the way they did that. And I'm like, what are they on the planet where Ahsoka is? You know, have they gone there? Because we know this is supposed to tie into that. So that's cool. I'm going to backtrack a little bit on this. Yes, I wasn't overly thrilled with it, but let me see what happens with the official trailer. And then, you know, we'll see just how good this is. Yeah, that was my only real complaint. It's just like, I know there's more to this. They're just holding it back, and I get it. But when it's already been out there, it's like, come on, Disney, give us the goods.
Yeah, and I'm kind of on the other end of it in that I never watched that footage. I never watched the D23 footage. I didn't feel the need to go searching for it that hard. Disney... like, this is just true of the Disney ABC studios that they never, like, con trailers, Comic-Con trailers, or D23 trailers, those are for those people, the people that showed up for those events. And they're pretty protective of it. Now, of course it gets pirated. Of course it gets put on YouTube. And once it's out there, everybody watches it. But I'm okay with not watching a grainy footage version of the trailer with the top of somebody's head blocking the screen a little bit. Like, I'm fine with that. And for me, this trailer's purpose was just to establish a reminder that this movie is coming, that these characters are here, that, yes, we love Grogu. You know, you and I go to Disney parks all the time. That little green fucker is right up there with that little blue fucker Stitch in the way that they are marketed, because they know what they have there and they want to make that so. So for me, it was perfectly fine. I wasn't blown away by the trailer. Like, I did not geek out over the trailer by any stretch of the imagination. There was nothing like that. But I was like, huh, all right, I see where they're going here. I'm intrigued. Let's see what happens. All right.
Fair enough, man. Fair enough.
Yeah. We're going to step away from the trailer park, head into news around the Nerdosphere. Let's talk wrestling in film, Dave, as we got three news stories this week. One wasn't really a news story. One was a little teaser video with Roman Reigns from the WWE, the man that many people here on the bandwagon say I patterned my attendance record after here on Bandwagon Nerds.
Not today, though.
Not today.
Surprise entrant today. Yeah.
Though for a limited time, because I unfortunately we do have to kind of take this and then jump into what you're watching. Sorry, James Gunn. Sorry, Tom Holland. Yay, Tombstone's in Brand New Day. I'm fine with that. That works. But we saw Roman Reigns teasing his role as the character Akuma in the Street Fighter movie. I have to admit that my Street Fighter game playing experience ends at Street Fighter 2 Turbo. I got as far as DJ Feelong. I don't even remember the other two. T-Hawk. There was a third one or fourth one. I can't remember who it was.
The last one was the fourth one. The last one I really got into was, I think it was like Street Fighter 4 when they rebooted it like
Akuma is like the anti Ryu and Ken, though, right? Like he's one of the most significant big bads in this sort of the Street Fighter universe, right?
Yeah, I'd almost defer to Dan on that one to see what he would say about
Akuma and M. Bison, though, like M. Bison's always been known as the biggest baddie in Street Fighter. Akuma seems to be like number two. He was the secret boss. There's been a lot that's gone on there. You know, he's got the look. Like, I've seen pictures of the character. He's got the look. You put him in a purple gi, and it's gonna fit. Not sure. The only time I've seen him act is in Fast and the Furious, so we'll have to see how that goes. But I think he can pull it off. Has he been another?
Yeah. Just the Hobbs and Shaw was the only one that I can really kind of recall, that sort of thing. But, he was okay in that. We'll see what his chops are like. But, he's not the only, I mean, Cody's going to be in it as well.
Cody Rhodes is in it. Yeah, he's Guile.
So, yeah, so you got some good wrestling crossovers. But, yeah, it was just kind of Roman walking by the Street Fighter machine and his eyes glow red. But, you know, I mean, it's like no secret he was going to be in there.
But I'm going to change subjects right away, though, in terms of casting wrestlers. And let's talk about the most on-the-nose casting of a wrestler you could possibly do, as it was announced this week that Drew McIntyre, Scottish giant that he is, has been cast to play your boyfriend, Henry Cavill's buddy, I'm assuming in the past.
I think it's his brother, right?
His brother, yeah, it's probably his brother in Highlander. And for those of you who remember the OG, you know, the Connor McLeod he was the youngest in a family, and he discovers his immortality in battle when he is killed but not killed and comes back from the dead and freaks out the whole village. And it's his brother, I do believe, that stands up for him and allows him to be exiled instead of stoned to death. Like, he gets him out of the village and people move on with their lives. But I mean, he's Scottish. He's acted before, right? Drew's been in some B movies or some stuff here or there, I think.
This is a big opportunity for Drew, though, because like you're saying, he's been in some stuff, but, you know, good luck figuring out what it was. But this is a big role for him in a Highlander reboot where he's, like you're saying, he is perfectly cast for this role. And to see him and Henry Cavill, you know, together doing their thing, that's going to be really kind of an awesome moment.
Is Henry Cavill going to get lifts in his shoes? Because Drew McIntyre is a tall motherfucker.
Yeah, and Henry Cavill is not exactly that tall. So, yeah, I think it's
devastatingly handsome, though. Am I right?
Well, you know, I got to compete with DJ for his attention apparently now, you know, because DJ's he's insta-stalking him. So that's kind of a concern, but I told DJ to get his own damn man. I think I like this casting call. It's a big moment for Drew. I think like the big thing is though that you're seeing more of this from the pro wrestling industry, more of this not encroaching, but kind of dabbling with Hollywood a little bit more. Whereas that was infrequent before. You had John Cena and The Miz with the Marine 10 through 25, that sort of thing. But now you've got Drew, you've got Roman, you got Cody doing his thing. John's making his name in Peacemaker. You've got Batista is doing all sorts of things. So yeah, it's a big opportunity for Drew to make a name for himself. And
it really just shows so much. So I know I give you a hard time. I give the guys on the show a hard time about how many times, you know, I want to try and not do too much pro wrestling talk on this show. But like, when you really look at the WWE and what they've done as an entertainment conglomerate and the opportunity it's presented many of its actors, and kids, I'm just going to say this right now, you AEW stands out there, you don't get Mercedes Moné, because she started The Mandalorian when she was Sasha Banks with the WWE. The WWE opened that door. Like, and I won't hear anything other over that. But John Cena is a mainstream actor now. Dave Bautista is a known mainstream actor here. Now we're seeing, what's that?
Dwayne, of course.
Yeah, The Dwayne Rock. Johnson. Yeah. Dwayne Johnson, obviously. You know, you've seen the door open for a Drew McIntyre. Becky Lynch. Becky Lynch was in Happy Gilmore too. Seth Rollins was supposed to be in a Marvel movie, but he got cut. His character got cut. He was not Sidewinder, didn't make it. The WWE has really, for as much as I am bothered by the relationships it has with certain foreign entities in other countries, because I don't love that they're in bed with Saudi Arabia, for example. I get why. Because that's good money for them, but I don't like it, and I don't have to watch it. They have opened up so much for so many people. I don't know about Edge, because I don't remember if Adam Copeland started doing his acting stuff while still with it. And I don't even know if the WWE opened it up. But top-of-the-line sci-fi channel actor Adam Copeland, who's made himself a steady little career, now in the Percy Jackson series on Disney+, by the way, is Ares, which is cool.
Yeah. Adam earned that on his own, because he started doing that stuff before he came back in 2020, when he had no wrestling career.
So. Right. And he did. So, yeah, was he in Vikings too?
I don't know. Remember. He was in something. I remember him in a couple of shows. But yeah, the AEW stands will take credit for Percy Jackson and, you know, whatever you guys got to tell yourself. But no, like you're saying, MJF was in Happy Gilmore too, you know, and yes, MJF is an AEW star, sure, but that opportunity does not present itself without WWE, and that's a fact.
I mean, I think it doesn't nearly present itself the way, because wrestlers, once upon a time, if a pro wrestler was in a movie, it was as a novelty, right? Even Hulk Hogan, his big acting break as Thunderlips in Rocky III was an anomaly. Andre the Giant was an anomaly, was almost stunt cast in a way. And, you know, it just doesn't happen. Steve Austin finally started to get some roles and be considered a legit actor along the same time as The Rock. I remember Paul White was Captain Insano in The Waterboy, but it's the same concept. It's a novelty. It's not like these people are being treated way more legitimately than they ever have been in the past, and a lot of that has to do with the way that was paved by your Steve Austins, your Dwayne Rock Johnsons, and that door was probably opened more by the WWE than folks want to give it credit for. And so good on them, and I hope it lasts.
I guarantee you that guy's a virgin,
right? That's a classic line. All right, last story I want to talk about today. One of my all-time favorite professional wrestlers is getting a biopic allegedly being made about him, Randy Savage. I'm intrigued as to where they're going to go with this story, but I'm worried about where they're going to go with this story, because I think that it's going to very much focus on Randy's paranoia and possessiveness, particularly around Elizabeth. And because that's the most interesting story out of Randy Savage's life, not his life after professional wrestling. I mean, he kind of had a good world figured out, was happy not being a part of pro wrestling, ripped on Hogan and raps, but did voice work all the time until he died of a heart attack while driving and passed away. I also don't know who you cast to play Randy Savage, because there are some people, like one of my favorite HBO movies that was ever created is the movie 61. It stars Barry Pepper and Thomas Jane. And the thing that blew my mind was how much Barry Pepper looks like Roger Maris, and that they didn't have to do much work to make him look and kind of sound like Roger Maris. Same thing with Thomas Jane as Mickey Mantle. Now, he doesn't look nearly as much like Mickey as Pepper looks like Maris, but boy, did he get that accent and that swagger down. That Randy Savage voice that everybody, every kid that watched him in the 80s, every adult that grew up with him, even people who didn't, who just knew him from Slim Jim commercials, that voice is so, so unique. And I don't know how you replicate him. And so
he's ready.
Right. I mean, and so, you know. But the casting is important to me, right? And I think it's going to be important to a lot of wrestling fans as well. I love Randy Savage as a wrestler. Him and Steamboat, WrestleMania 3, you know, your dad's favorite match, everybody. It's your dad's favorite match. I know this as a father because it's my favorite match. If this is going to be done, I hope it's done seriously. I hope that it does take a hard look, because I do want a biopic to take a hard look. Like, I like the Iron Claw. One of the reasons while I own it, I don't like it as a film. A Bohemian Rhapsody is way too kind to that band, my favorite band in the whole world. And it's because the band had a lot of influence into how that movie was made. So I want it to be a fair examination of Randy Savage's life, because I do think that by the time he hit his passing, he had put a lot of his demons to rest. At least outwardly, that's how it looked.
He was at peace with a lot of stuff. He had the wife that who was with him at the time the car wreck was, you know, not going to be as anything as glamorous as what Liz was, that sort of thing. But certainly more stable for Randy, especially at that point in his life. But like you're saying, casting is going to be key. Who do you cast as Randy? I've got no clue right now. Who do you cast as Elizabeth? That's going to be critically important too, because you know she's going to be a big part of this thing. You got to figure Hogan's going to be, because the Mega Powers, that whole story. You're going to have Steamboat. You know, who do you cast as that? I mean, they've got to get it right. I think there's two things, like you're saying, casting is a big thing. And yeah, what aspects of Randy's life are you focusing on? Are we going to paint him in the most favorable light possible? Are you going to focus on a lot? Because there is there's a lot of negative stuff there. Let's be honest. But he's.
I don't want a movie that just looks at the good things. Like, that's not a biopic. That is a curated biopic. And again, that was ultimately my big problem with Queen in Bohemian Rhapsody. And one of the most damning quotes came from Sacha Baron Cohen after he left the project, where it was like the band wanted to tell this story that was about the band. And Cohen was like, look, the band's not interesting. You guys overcoming Freddie's death and continuing to play is not a good story. It's not a compelling story. People don't want to know that. They want to see Freddie's life. And that's like, sorry, Freddie was bigger than the band. And that's true to this day, because if he wasn't, you wouldn't pay tribute to him in your concert.
Yeah,
so you got to do that with Savage too. You have to do that with Savage.
It's got to be even handed. You got to tell the whole story.
Yes.
Yeah, tell the good and the bad and the ugly. You know, that sort of thing. So
yep, and we got to know about his family, his father, his history. So we'll see how it all goes. Hopefully, it is a successful one. All right, Dave. Like I mentioned before, I'm under a bit of a time crunch. We are going to call this episode a truncated episode of Bandwagon Nerds, but we can't leave without doing what we do, and that is telling everybody what we're watching. So, Dave, what do you watch?
Well, you have not started Alien Earth yet, have you? Okay. I desperately do not want to spoil it for you. All I will say is...
I'm this far from just watching them without him. Because
he's really
dragging his feet.
I'll say this. DJ and I did exchange some messages because he messaged me whether I had seen it, what I thought of the finale. I love the show. I would have to agree with DJ. I don't know how this fits in the continuity, especially because, you know, the first movie comes after this. So it doesn't seem to fit in, but maybe it does. I thought it was a tremendous show. I know a lot of people are out there lobbying for Hulu. Please, guys, do a season. You don't want to see it. Leave it like this, because I really hope they get to do a season two. I mean, and the eyeball's still running around out there. So, you know, you gotta figure that whole thing out.
That is all I know about Alien Earth, is that there is an eyeball thing.
It's that I watched the first episode of Marvel Zombies, which is good. I've heard some mixed things about the rest of the series. Finally getting to Sandman season two, which is it's just like the first season. It's very good. Dream is just the most. The thing I love about Dream is just that
he sucks. He's a douche.
He's so monotone with everything.
But he's self-absorbed and boring. Like, he's so self-absorbed in his boredom. Like, he's such an asshole.
Have you watched season two yet?
I've watched a couple of episodes. I'm not far into it.
They're good. They're good. I think that, you know, like Morningstar stepping away from hell in episode two is like, okay, what do we got going on here? But yeah, the second episode ended on a cliffhanger, but that's kind of really the big things this past week that I've been watching. But yeah, I'm going to get back to Marvel Zombies. Gen V, forgot to mention Gen V. I still need to talk to Ray about that. Yeah, that show is really good. That show continues to be very good, so...
Yeah, I know. I wish I wasn't so down on her. The Boys universe has just worn me down. So, you know, we'll cover the fifth season because we've covered the entire show at this point. But I need some less bleak spinoffs. So,
I don't know if this is for you,
right? Because what I'm watching right now. So we are, the Little O'Dowd and I are slowly but surely getting through Stranger Things. We are in the penultimate. We just finished the penultimate episode of season three. We're about to get into the final episode of season three, which culminates obviously with Hopper and Russia. And then, you know, carving out an hour and a half for those long season four episodes is the next challenge. But hopefully we can get them in over time. He's a one and done episode kind of guy. I did watch a fun episode of Black Mirror this week, so I'm trying to get through those. But it was an episode that, as I watched it, kind of ate its own tail, and I didn't really know that it worked as well as it tried to be profound. It's an episode that's called I'm gonna forget the character's name, but it's somebody is the worst. It's the person's name, and basically it's a woman who discovers that there is a streaming show on Netflix about her life and showing everybody her life and how it completely unravels everything in her life. And that Netflix is allowed to do it through its AI technology and tracking her every move and putting it out there because she didn't read through the user agreement when she started her subscription. And basically it shows that everybody who has a Netflix subscription in this fake universe doesn't. So it's got that. Then it's got a twist where the character you've been following is actually not the original. It's actually the level one of the show, where you then learn that the original person, like, you're following around as the original person is going through this, like you're watching the show in that world with that person until she destroys the server, because essentially Netflix completely destroys this person's life, right? And there's no repercussion for it. Like, even if you legally sign this thing away, I would feel there would be grounds for a show causing you to lose your job, your entire life, everything about it. Like, they contractually create loopholes to where she escapes it. And at the end, she's on house arrest for destroying their server. And I'm like, okay, I get it. She was punished, but not really punished. But it also doesn't make sense. Like, the lack of ethical that it takes to do something like that is a little over the top. And so I enjoyed the show. I was like, oh, it's kind of a fun idea. But it also kind of falls under its own weight a little bit. And that's the thing I've found about Black Mirror, is I actually think Black Mirror's been on too long now. And it's trying too hard with some of its episodes. It just don't work nearly as well. And it's not to say that there haven't been good episodes in some of these later seasons, but there's been a few where I've been like, this just doesn't work. Doesn't work, and that's too bad. So,
not seen it. I need to. I need another one.
And then I am getting a little out doubt into the 28 Days Later series. I did watch 28 Years Later rewatch. I may have mentioned that last week, but if you have not watched 28 Years Later, it was a good watch. It was fun. It made me cry. It actually got me emotional in a way that I wasn't prepared for. And kudos to Danny Boyle for that. So, all right, Dave, tell everybody where they could find you out there in the interwebs and on the Chair Shot Radio Network.
Yeah, you can find me on X and Blue Sky at Attitude Ag. That is at Attitude AGG, Facebook.com/Attitude of Aggression, and at Attitude of Aggression, which is all one word, on Instagram and Threads, as long as I keep Threads, but I'm getting ready to dump that. So it's just a lot of garbage on there. It's not very valid. So yeah, that's it.
You can find me out there in the social media universe at Wrestling Realist. That is at WrestlingRealist. You can catch me every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, most Wednesdays, on the Chair Shot Radio Network. Mondays talking nerdy stuff with Dave and usually a cast of thousands. Well, two others. Not really thousands, but, you know, I feel like we are a vast universe. Tuesdays talking sports most weeks with David Ungar, not this week. And then Wednesdays talking wrestling with Craig DeMarco when we feel like it. That's going to do it for this week's edition of Bandwagon Nerds. Thank you, everyone, for enjoying this truncated edition. Now get yourself out of the basement, get some sun, and even if it's not their birthday, hug a loved one today. Show them that you appreciate them. I'm going to do it one more time. Happy birthday, Mrs. O'Dowd. Love you. I know you don't even listen to this show, but I love that you support me to even record a one-hour Bandwagon Nerds before we go celebrate your birthday the rest of the day today. So thank you, everyone, for listening. This has been Bandwagon Nerds here on the Chairshot Radio Network, part of thechairshot.com.
All I know is this, Jimmy. Next Friday, August 29th at the Baton Rouge Exposition Center, I'm going to open a can of whoop-ass on Herculon, and I'm going to drive him back into whatever galaxy he came from. And that's a promise.
Strong words from a strong man, Captain Insano. Now let's take a call. It's our old friend from Jackson's Bayou, Mr. B.
Hello, Jim. Is it possible to speak to Captain Insano?
Shoot, Mr. B.
Captain Insano. I notice sometimes when you are wrestling or opening up a can of whoop-ass, as you like to say, you seem to be sweating quite profusely.
Yeah?
I was wondering if perhaps you might need the services of an experienced water boy.
That's pretty cute. How old are you, kid? 11? 12?
I am 31 years old.
I guarantee that guy's still a virgin.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.